you just bow your head for a moment? Father, we believe that we've heard from you this morning already during the service and during our prayer time. Lord God, we understand that you are doing amazing things. No matter what the world wants to show us or tell us, you're still in the miracle business. You're still in the healing business. You're still in the wanting a relationship and a discipleship business. Lord God, I'm asking as we just open your word here for a moment, that your anointing would fall fresh on each and every one of us. Not my words, but your anointing upon your word. That it would accomplish all that you want to accomplish. May it encourage where encouragement is needed. May it strengthen where strength is needed. May it give direction where direction is needed. That the end result is that we would be looking to you and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to talk to you a moment, and I've titled the sermon, If. And I guess you could put if, dot, 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 because you need to really finish the sentence there. And I want you to picture this morning. It's kind of funny and sad. I thought of this morning too, there's kind of a saying that says that a person was standing out on the pier waiting for their ship to come in, and the pier rotted. And at first, I have a sick humor, and I begin to think that was kind of funny, but, you know, funny in the sense that somebody would stay out there that long waiting for their ship to come in, that the pier rotted. And the sad part is that they stood out on the pier that long, and the pier rotted. It's happy and it's sad, but here I want you to think this morning. Imagine what your life would be like if money was no object. If money was no object and the basic needs, and I'm not saying that you would be a millionaire and be able to spend and buy and do whatever you want, but what would your life be if money was not an object and one of the concerns that you had on a daily basis was not just getting your needs met? And then I want you to imagine, what if your dreams became a reality? And then I want you to think, would you be able to identify what your life would look like then? Do you know what I'm saying? Many people say, oh, I have dreams, but okay, if your dream became a reality, would you be able to handle it, and would you know what to do with it? You know, many people say, well, if I just had this much more money, I'd be able to do this, this, and this. Well, this morning, I'm asking you to put and imagine all of those ifs, and then say, would your life be different? Would your life be different? Most people would say yes. And the reason that they would say yes is hopefully that you would be smart and learn from your mistakes. Amen to that? Hopefully that in that if and all of that stuff that would be happening, you'd be smart and you would be able to learn from your mistakes, that you would make smarter decisions in the future and not live in the moment. You would look long range. Now stay with me. You would look long range rather than short-ranged. And then I want to ask you the question, why do we, when it concerns the things of God, why do we always look short-term? Why do we always look short-term? Because I say that because of this, the mentality of I have plenty of time to do this or that. I have plenty of time to accomplish this or go after that, and pretty soon, time gets away from us. The dream is lost. And according to Google search, there are 1,784 ifs in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to talk on each one of them this morning. Somebody said, good, that would be my response too. Any one of those ifs in the Bible can change your life. Any one of those could change something or anything, and it determines by how you respond to if. And I say that because to me, everything starts with an if. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because everything would start, and I'll give you an example. If I go to college, if I talk to him or her, if I apply for this job, if I get out of my comfort zone, if I would save money, if I would take the time, if I had the courage. All of these things begin a dream, begin a thing that's going on in your life. And let me say this, until if becomes a determined action, it has no legs. Let me say that again. If, until you put it into action, until it's a determined action, it's a dream that has no legs. See, I remember when God called me to ministry. I remember where I was at. I remember what I was doing. I remember what I felt like God was saying to me. And in my mind, right after that, came hundreds of ifs. Some negative and some positive. You begin to think, you know, the negatives. And then you think of some of the things that would be a positive. And some of them were drawing me towards the dream. And some of them were drawing me by excuses, pushing me away from the dream. And some of them negatives were just instant obstacles that were put in front of me. And I want to ask you, what are your ifs this morning? I think two main ifs, and that's kind of where we're going to center on this morning. There's two main ifs. There's the if, what if, and then there's if only. You know, those really to me are the two main ifs. One is present and forward looking, and one is past and looking back. And my question is, which one will define your life? Which one will define your life when this life is over? Which one will they say that you lived? There are 1,700 passages in the Bible, and we're certainly not going to talk about all of them, like I said. And you know, as we get older, doctors tell us that we use less of our left side, which is an imagination side of our brain, and we begin to use more of the right side that's logical. And judging by some people I see, I don't think they used either side because of the things that they do and say. So let's start with what if. And I have three scriptures that I believe just handles the what if side. You know, we have all said what if to ourselves. We've all had them conversations, whether it be college, girlfriend, boyfriend, job, courage, all of those things. We've all had those kind of what ifs, and in the same sense, we've all had regrets in those same areas. If only I did this. And a lot of times our what ifs have turned into I should have. Why? Because we don't respond to the situation correctly, or we miss an opportunity that comes up. So here's these verses. And if you want, you can write them down. 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Would you be in agreement this morning that this world is in trouble? This world is in trouble. God's people, during this, as we see the chaos in the world, God's people are not seeking God's face like they should. And they're not on their knees praying like they should. And then they're not wanting or are not exerting any effort for God to intervene in this troubling time. And I think of disunity. I think of family breakdown. I think of racial divide. I think of conflict and terrorism and political unrest and all of these things. There are certain things that we can do if. You get me? There are certain things that we can do if we want to see God's hand in our lives. Then after the if, and we put legs to it, we see God intervene. Look at this scripture. If my people will pray and seek my face, and he ends that verse by saying, then I will heal their land. Our magnificent God, in all of his goodness, in all of his mercy, in all of his grace, if calls his people to be people of prayer, he calls his people to be seeking his face, and he calls us out to be different, and in his graciousness and in his mercy, he says, then I'll heal your land. Then I'll intervene in your circumstances. Then I'll be the God that I need to be in your life. An awesome promise from God that begins if we would respond to his word. Evangelist Tony Evans says this, I love this. Prayer is an earthly request for heavenly intervention. It is a tool and strategy that we have been given in order to pull something down out of the invisible and into the visible. Prayer enacts God's hand in history like never before because prayer is relational communication with God. If we're going to turn this community around, if we're even have an impact to turn this nation around, God's people have to take God at his word and begin to be praying. God needs us to repent of our sins and to throw ourselves down before the face of God to see God begin to heal a lot our land and to heal these things that are going on in our lives. We could save a lot. Say amen to this. We could save a lot of time and energy and worry if we did things God's way the first time. If we communicated with God before we made silly mistakes, we wouldn't have so many things that we have to deal with. Another passage is found in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I really think we need to wrap our head around that verse and that passage. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, the God that saves your soul, promises you eternal life. And if he is for you, what could possibly be against you that you would have to worry about? You say amen to that? What would you have that could possibly cause you to worry if the God of the universe looks at you and says, I got this? We have to take this verse in context. We have to take it in the sense that we need to be reminded that this world is not our final resting spot. We are, the Word of God says in Romans, we are more than conquerors in Christ. Keynote, in Christ. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And those that may be in present suffering, he tells us and promises us future glory. Romans 8:24 says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. We hope for what they already have. But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. See, some people just have this idea that God is like a wicked ruler waiting in heaven for us to make these mistakes. And as we make these mistakes, that he is quick to want to just correct us and spank us, so to speak. Now, you know, I need to tell you that our Heavenly Father is a just God, and he does punish those that don't know him or obey the gospel. But there are so many scriptures that just, God is reaching out to us. God is trying to tell us and show us in every way possible how much that he loves us. And the Word of God says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not a God sitting with his hammer just like squashing bugs, you know, just trying to pop us every time we make a mistake or count us out. He's long-suffering. He wants us. If God is for us, who could be against us? There's probably more proofs, but I thought of four proofs, and all taken from Romans chapter 8. If you ever did a study on it, they call it the Great Eight, and there's all kinds of promises that are in this, and God will graciously give us all things. Now, when I say that, I mean He gives us our needs, and because He's a great God, He gives us some blessings. In the same sense, He's not the Santa Claus. He's not a God that would give us things that would hurt us. So when He says that He gives us all things, he gives us all things needed. He gives us, because He loves us, blessings. Proof number two is that he will not bring a charge against us after we've accepted the Lord. There's no judge that's going to find us guilty. We're innocent because of the blood of Christ. We're innocent because of His mercy and His goodness. And no one will condemn us. The Word of God says, while we're in Christ, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Last proof is nothing will separate us from the love of God. All kinds of doctrinal issues in different denominations, but I'm telling you this. God puts His hand out. And if you're in God's hand and you don't want to jump out of His hand, you are secure. Say amen to that this morning. Because of the great God that we serve, you have to, by choice, decide that you're going to reject Christ. Otherwise, we are safe in Christ. You got to remember this too, that God is outside of time. I love this, and it's kind of funny because Josh changed the clock. Somehow we lost 6 hours, and I told Josh, well, I did that so that I could preach for 7 hours today. But when you look at and you calculate time comes because the sun rotates around the earth, but God holds the sun. God holds the earth in His hands. Therefore, that because we're human, we present and look and perceive as past, present, future. But when you have a God that is eternal, it's constant presence. Say amen to that. And here's the third one. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Our mouths can say the craziest stuff. Amen. Anybody besides me say something that you shouldn't say and wish you could take it back? And realize that once it's out there in space, it can't come back. The Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful and our tongues are wicked. But when God gets a hold of your heart and gets your heart centered on Him, and your belief and your mind and your thoughts and your actions all come together, and you confess that belief, then we can be assured of salvation. We can be assured of the promises of God. I want you to see Paul's heart here again, talking about Romans 8, and he's dealing with a overzealous Jewish nation. They were zealous for God, but they weren't looking to God. Paul acknowledges that they were more zealous for religion than they were for God. They based their religion on obedience to the law, to the Ten Commandments. I got news for you. You can't live the Ten Commandments. Because if you sin one time, you fall short. And I don't know about you, but that didn't take me long to ruin my record there. Paul was saying that Christianity is based upon a relationship in Christ and what Christ has done for us. Do you know that the law told you how far you could walk on the Sabbath? The law said that if you carried something that weighed more than 2 dried figs, it was against the law. The law told you that if on the Sabbath you had a sick person, you could keep them from getting worse, but you couldn't do anything to make them better on the Sabbath. Now that's crazy laws. That's crazy stuff. But that's what they were looking at. The Jews struggled with the fact that it was good news for everyone. You imagine? There's people like that. thinking that they're no matter what they do, God's going to love them. But boy, they're critical about other people and how their actions are, and wondering how God could let them into the kingdom of God. I'm sure some people were thinking about us that way too. If these things became, and I'm wrapping it up here, if these things became your beliefs, if you really grabbed on to that, you know, if my people would pray, seek my face, I'd heal their land. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you would believe that with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, if you confess and believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. It would change your life. You would live differently. We'd be new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old is past and the new has come. Say amen to that. If we would look at redemption, we wouldn't live in condemnation. If you lived in reconciliation, a lot of us wouldn't live in alienation from God. Amen? Would you bow your head this morning? Father, kind of a different sermon this morning. Looking at the ifs in the Bible. What if, and if only. What ifs, if we would grab onto them, again, if we would believe that you're for us, then what possibly could be against us? If we truly believe that, by a confession of our faith and belief in Jesus Christ, began to live it out, we would see changes in our lives. If your people, no matter how crazy and evil this world is, if your people would be praying and seeking your face, desiring to see you move, your promise is that you would intervene, that you would heal the land, that you would begin to do mighty things. At Rosedale, if we would have faith to reach out into this community, we're trusting you that if you're for us, who could be against us? Why wouldn't we be able to reach people for Christ? Why wouldn't we make an impact? If we would be obedient and faithful to you, why wouldn't we see family members come to Christ? Why wouldn't we see the eternal God intervening in people's lives? Bottom line is, if how we're going to respond and what we're going to do, we give you honor and praise this morning. I'm trusting, Lord God, that you're speaking to people's hearts today. Some that need encouragement, some that need a financial blessing, some that need direction, whatever it is this morning. Wherever they need to grab your word and hold on, I pray that you would minister and be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen.